thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you all well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of this community. He alone is worthy of us getting together. Listen, guys, I am so thrilled that you took the time today out of your schedule on your calendar to tune us in to study God's Word for this verse-by-verse study, exegetical study on the life of Christ, and reaching out to God saying, God, what do you have for me? What gifts do I have? Just, you know, boy, I believe you're bringing much honor to God by doing this. With us, Kevin, still in Florida. Kevin, how's things down there, brother?
It's good, brother. You know, yesterday the pastor of this church said, I want to buy 5 Wounded Spirits books. 10. He bought 10 and insisted on paying full price. You know, I was trying to discount them. They were good to us. You know, I preached here and they were good to me. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm going to get my book out here soon. Kind of a companion volume, as it were, a discipleship book. It's going good, going well. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist on this first one I get out, but honestly, it just needs to get out. And today, my goal, I don't have a whole lot going the rest of the day after we make this broadcast, is to get that worked on and get that sucker out. And honestly, people are needing it, and God's given us a job and ability, and there's accountability, and there's risk and reward to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, risk and reward, I mean, it's such a big thing. And, you know, I know in our family, we've looked at risk and reward. So when Debbie and I, when I was in the Army, my last few years, my last 6 or 8 years, Debbie had a job, and we took that money and essentially invested it all. We dropped all that money into mutual funds that she was making, made sure the kids were in, you know, good schools. We knew that people were back in the United States. They owned homes. They owned a lot of things, land, and we didn't. So we said, we got to catch up. We got to have some money for down payments. We got to do some things. So we knew there was a risk involved, but we put everything we raised, everything Debbie made into these funds. So let's say we invested, I believe, about $80,000 or $90,000 over a 6-year period in the mutual funds. And then 2001 happened in the midst of all, you know, getting ready to retire. We retired in beginning of 2004, bought a house in 2003. But, you know, I went out there at one point, our $90,000 investment was worth $195,000. By the time I went out there to get it, it was still worth $105,000, but I had made $15,000 on the money I had. But had I never invested it, I just would have had the 90 instead of the extra 25,000. Had timing went better, I would have had it all. And there's times I said, boy, I wish I would have done this differently. But this is what I know, my friends. And when we invest in God, we always get the highest interest rates. When we invest with God, I mean, you want to talk about a permanent screen. We don't have to sell pink drink. We don't have to do those things. I mean, when we're investing with God, our treasures are up in heaven. And that's a pretty cool thing. So there's very little risk and a whole lot of reward when it comes to God. But we got to remember, we have to do it. So in Ecclesiastes, so I want you to think today, from a risk and reward standpoint, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb, or her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, neither this or that, or whether they shall be alike good. So we can sit around and worry about everything. We can have every eventuality. We can sit around and say, man, we, you know, maybe I shouldn't have invested. Maybe I should do this. Well, folks, it's just so important that we look at this and we know that, you know, our responsibility is to sow the seed. Our responsibility is to do those things. Our responsibility, you know, we looked at these verses in Ecclesiastes. Our responsibility is not to observe the wind and worry. Our responsibility is not to regard it the clouds. Our responsibility is just do what God has given us, Kevin. That's where we're at.
Yeah. You know, the risk and responsibility is, risk and reward is a fantastic feature that God builds into us. You know, that's why I'm a capitalist, because I believe that we should be able to take risks and be rewarded if it was a good, wise risk. God's all about rewarding wisdom, and God's about rewarding risk. And I think trauma, on the other hand, makes us go into avoidance mode, where I was just having a discussion with someone not long ago about the, we fear vulnerability, we fear pain, we sure don't want to get hurt again. And so we are cordoning ourselves off from valid risks that have blessings. And this text that we're going to look at later, it deals with that God's desire is to bless us by putting money to the exchangers. And that's what, Doug, you were talking about with investing. And, you know, I took some CDs out recently while there's still a little bit of interest rate going on, some pretty fat CDs. And I want to get a house someday. And so when I get the house, that hopefully these things will then be mature and I'll be able to withdraw them and, you know, have a good chunk of interest. But right afterwards, someone sent me, literally the next day, I think someone sent me a big video, and it's, you know, some big world financial leaders, I think actually in America, saying, yeah, I think we need to have the banks be able to just take funds out of people's accounts. You know, the idea was it's not safe. I'm like, thanks a lot. I just got some CDs, and you're saying the bank can seize them if they feel like it. But anyway, it's part of the risk. It's part of the risk. You got to balance it out, and with wise investment, wise decisions, you can get a great return. Be wise. I was looking at the scripture, Doug. There is God's reward of a risk. When young Jonathan, the son of Saul, was in charge of some kind of a garrison. He went with his armor bearer, and, you know, he was like, something's got to be done. It's a stalemate. My father's afraid. Everybody's afraid of the Philistines. And so they went out, he and his armor bearer, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over to these men and discover ourselves to them. In other words, we're going to pop up from behind a rock and say, hey, y'all, you want to talk? And anyway, the garrison of the Philistines end up being mopped up by Jonathan and his armor bearer, and it went fantastic, and it won a tremendous victory. And he put a risk out of his life, and then boom, great reward came. It doesn't always work out that way, but he did that. He said, something's got to be done. He was a visionary. Something's got to be done, and I'm going to do it. And he went back to his father. And when his father found out that something took place, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, there was a vow, but his father's like, okay, we're going to kill Jonathan. See, so sometimes your risk and your reward is, there's attempts to seize it by people at the top of the food chain. Does that make sense? If you put it out there, be careful. But it's part of the risk, and you are making yourself vulnerable. You have a target on your back when you take a stand for God, when you do something for God. You've got a target on your back. Guess what? God will take up for you, because Israel went to King Saul and said, he will not die. He won a great war for us. Stop talking about killing your son, Jonathan, you narcissist. And let me just tell you, it's worth the narcissism that we come up against. It's worth the junk we get. It's worth the trauma, because something's got to be done. Folks, we're in a day of do or die. I say, let's just go ahead and take the risk and get the reward, and watch God do a great work. And he just needs a willing vessel.
Yeah, that's our God. That's the God we serve. And trusting, you know, the resources that he gives us, trusting him to work with them. Not looking at the sky, not, you know, those verses we read, not worried about the wind rate, not sitting around saying, well, it might be better to plant tomorrow. It might be better to go out and share the gospel tomorrow because people, you know, it's been a hot day. It might be, stop it. You know, folks, when we serve God, it's always the right time to do the next thing. When we serve God, it's always the right time to be kind. When we serve God, it's always the right time to exhort people. When we serve God, it's always the right time to, you know, grab a cup of coffee with your family. It's always the right time to do something cool. It's always a great time to go for a walk. It's always a great time to share with people. It's always a great time to take these resources, whatever they are, whatever these gifts are, whatever these talents are. We're going to see in these verses here in just a little bit after the break, we're going to see that, you know, there's a lot of money that's being entrusted. And some people are so skittish and afraid of when they get this money, they just want to hide it to make sure they don't let God down. And God's like, well, I gave this to you. Do something with it. And we're going to be reading about that in just a few minutes. And so hang with us. We'll be right back with you. We got to let the radio stations do what they have to do.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, as we continue on with a step-by-step, verse-by-verse exegetical study, the book of Matthew, chapter 25, we've been on the Olivet Discord. We still find Christ in the Mount of Olives. He's still up there preaching and teaching and helping us to this day a couple thousand years later. And we got this parable and of these talents. We're going to look at that now. We're going to be in verses 16 through 18 of Matthew 25. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he had received two, and he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So we continue on with this parable of the talents and talking about it. We've learned some things here. We, looking at the talents yesterday, we learned that talents also talk about the gifts that God give us, the things that we can do with those gifts that he gives us and things of that nature. So we continue on with that. We continue wanting to use them, and we see right away that the servants who received five and two talents respectively put their resources to work, and they doubled what they were given. And so the first two servants here in this part of the parable, they've actively engaged with the resources entrusted to them. They took risks, they invested, they worked diligently. They could have done things like plant more in the field. They could have done a lot of different things with them. But when it comes to our resources and our gifts from God, sometimes it just means engaging people in friendships and honesty and helping people along and doing things for people we really don't feel like doing, but we just want to help them be better off and know the Lord a little closer. But this third servant in this particular part that we're looking at, he took a different approach. He buried his talent. He just wanted to make sure that was sitting there waiting for God when he got there. I don't want to invest it and lose it. He was afraid. Instead of trusting God, he was afraid to trust in those things. So I think in the broadcast last week that anxiety has bypassed depression as the number one medical, not only mental, but the number one medical problem and the most expensive facing Americans today. And so I think, you know, the act of burying that talent obviously points right to fear. You're afraid. It points to laziness. Maybe it points to a lack of faith. But I think, so those are the big three, right? If you're not going to take the gift that God has given you and do something with it, I think it's laziness. I think it's faith issue, a lack of faith, or I think you're scared. And so, you know, there's faithlessness in action here. So There's a couple servants that they stepped out. There's risk and reward. I think everything we do in life involves risk and reward. There's a lot of men and women that wouldn't be married today if someone didn't ask the question. A lot of people that went, you know, there was a lot of people that never would have went out on a date. I tell people often when I was young, before I met Debbie, when I was dating, I had two girls say no to dating me. And, but the other one said yes, you know, and obviously none were serious to get married or anything like that, but there was probably 20 or 30 girls that maybe, you know, in high school and stuff, went to a movie with me or, you know, had a cup of coffee or things like that. I never would have done that without asking the question. But I also think this begs an opinion on complacency and initiative. Are we a complacent Christian? That's something you got to ask yourself. And that's something, dear friends, and I believe this with all my heart, this is something, dear friends, that our trauma can get in the way of. And so I'll tell you, you know, complacency, don't be that person. Be the person that has initiative. And Kevin, as we look at these things, and I mean, there's consequences to inaction, there's consequences to inaction with God, but it's about trust, right? I mean, we're all going to have some fear, but it's about trust.
Yes. Yes. You know, people are motivated to take risks, like the people here that received the higher talents. I think they were excited when they looked at the amount of talents they had, and they may have been motivated to invest because they, you know, they thought, well, may I have more to risk? You know, I'm comfortable enough to risk. And that's a valid motivation. If you got more, you can, you know, take half of it, which is not a bad amount to put out there. And so that's a motivation. And then there's the motivation to take risks and invest your life because you're just like, someone's got to do this. And I don't have as much going for me, but I see the rich people that feel like they don't need God. And so, you know, I've been waiting for my first $1 million to really start doing stuff and invest in missions or to give to the building fund or to, you know, to go build a wing on a rescue mission or go to, you know, Tahiti or something and do some, whatever it is. It may not be directly the Lord's service. It may be just some other risk, like you talked about dating and so forth. You know, I'm good looking, so I feel like I can meet a lot of girls and or guys. I can take rejection because I know there's going to be five more waiting to take their spot. But if I feel like I'm ugly, I'm motivated to not put it out there.
Ugly people need people too. So you just, you know, you shoot, you shoot at the target you can hit.
That's it. And if you're going to hit it, you know, consistently, you're like, I can absorb the loss. But if I'm going to get out there and just get rejection after rejection, I can't absorb that. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to die. And so I'm going to stay, you know, an island. I'm going to be a hermit. And we're that way. You know, there's Scrooge was a skinflint. But there are people that are, you know, there are people that just don't give themselves. They're just afraid. Their vulnerability factor is too much. And if you've been through trauma, hey, you have a vulnerability factor that's above average. You are feeling hurt. And I'm just so glad, Doug, that God led you to start this ministry because you take people at their vulnerable level and shore them from the bottom up instead of saying, you guys down there, all right, get as good as I am. No, you're getting below them and saying, hey, man, this is a safe place. You know, tune into the broadcast. It's a safe place. Come to a camp. Go to Memphis to the next conference. Be what God wants you to be. And it's just pretty cool how it works out. But yeah, it's pretty exciting, Doug.
I think so. And I think, friends, as we talk about this and as we look at this, I think, you know, there's consequences to inaction throughout life. And there's great benefit. There's reward. We talked about risk and reward. There's reward in initiative. There's reward in invest in talents. There's reward in doing those things. I know that I don't know how many times in my life I've sat in a church and listen to somebody else say, well, we went out this week and we shared these things and somebody got saved. And I've said, boy, I wish I would have went out this week with them. But, I was a little tired. I wish I would have done that. I don't know how many times I've said that. But I want to be on the other end of that now. I want to be the guy that goes out sometimes. I want to be the guy that does those things. You know, you'll never regret doing things for God when your life is over. And you'll never regret, by the way, doing things with your family either. That's godly as well. God expects you to do those types of things. So step out, have that initiative, be that type of person. I met a guy years ago, and so there's a book out now. Let me explain to you. So there were these five men that came back from World War I. They were African-American men. Times were very hard. They lived in Oklahoma, and they heard about a mill town in California called Weed. So Weed is actually the name of the town. It was named after a man. They went out there for mills. They got hired the day they arrived. They drove from Oklahoma in the 1920s in a beat-up car that took 12 days to get to California up in the mountains. Yeah, you think your coach is slow. Imagine the roads back then. You know, they went up there, and they got jobs for $5 a week and thought they had found the American dream. And boy, did they ever. All five of those men became millionaires. Their lives were completely changed. There's a book about it. Started at $5 a day to millionaire, trust in God, stepping out. All it takes is a little bit of initiative. Hey, we sure do love you folks. And we want to come back tomorrow and we want to look at an entrance of joy in our lives. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.